is having some really severe sinus problems. He passed out at work the other day. They had to take him to the hospital, and they're doing some tests and all. And so, so please add Travis to your prayer list for that. And thank you so much. Just keep them in your prayer. We have some folks that are out of town traveling, and a lot of folks that are struggling with some of the seasonal illnesses and so forth going on. So just keep everybody in your prayers and all of those kinds of things. Barron is having surgery on the 9th of December. Is that right? His surgery's been moved. So a lot of stuff going on with a lot of people and all. But it's good that we can be here, those of us who are here this morning, able to be together, to worship the Lord together. We've been talking about heaven in the real world. And it's really a matter of being able to experience the power of heaven in our lives today as we live. And we started out in this study talking about what is heaven's message and understanding heaven's message for us. And part two of this, and we started studying a few weeks ago, is really about sharing that message. Once we get the message from heaven, God doesn't intend for us to keep it for ourselves. He wants to share it with other people. Okay? So we're talking about sharing heaven's message with others. And in the first part of this part of our study, we talked about becoming the hands of heaven. That is, doing the service, doing the work that God, that heaven wants us to be doing as we share that message with others. Last week, we talked about reflecting the eyes of heaven. What do people see when they look into their eyes? Do they see the love and the compassion of heaven in our eyes? Or do they see condemnation? Do they see, feelings that they're not really welcome and they don't measure up or what have you? Reflecting the eyes of heaven is what God wants us to do. So this morning, as we continue this part of our study, we're going to be talking about speaking with the voice of heaven. Okay? A lot of it has to do with how do we speak and share the words of heaven. It's recognizing heaven's message, as I said a moment ago. And part of that is a matter of we really need to be able to see ourselves as God sees us. Too many people are looking at themselves and saying, I don't measure up. I'm not good enough. Well, you know, the truth of the matter is we don't measure up and we aren't good enough. But that's what God's grace and mercy are all about. He loves us anyway. And that's how we need to see ourselves. That's how heaven sees us, you see. But the other part of it is that sharing, that we need to be taking the message of God's love to those around us in our lives. Okay? It's becoming the hands of heaven, as we've been talking about, and it's reflecting the eyes of heaven. But here's the thing that I want you to think about this morning. If those two don't match the message from heaven, then what we're going to talk about this morning isn't going to work. So we need to make sure that not only are we using the hands of heaven and serving other people, and that our eyes are reflecting the eyes of heaven, we've got to make sure those two are working really well, because otherwise, as we try to speak the voice of heaven, people are going to pay more attention to what they see than what they hear. So let's talk about speaking with the voice of heaven. The Apostle Paul makes it very, very clear that we have a job to do, and that is going out and sharing the message that heaven has given to us. And he says to us, how then can they call on the one that they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And that word preaching there is not just for folks like me. He's not just talking about going to church and listening to somebody give a sermon. He's talking about going out and sharing. And that's the very next thing he says, is how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news.
Amen.
Okay? He's talking about all of our feet. See, because he wants all of us to be sharing heaven's message. So let's talk about, how do we do that? What is this speaking the voice of heaven really all about? Well, I think the first thing we need to understand is that it's not just about words. Okay?
I think one thing we have to realize is that people listen more with their eyes than they do with their ears. Okay? People listen more with their eyes, or at least they listen first with their eyes before they listen with their ears. So it's not just a matter of what we say to people, but it really is a matter of how we say what we say. Because people are listening more than just with their ears to what we say. If what we say, in other words, doesn't match what we do, the hands of heaven and the eyes of heaven, then our words are going to be empty. So we need to be focusing on not just what we say, but how we say those things. Here's a little tidbit of information for you, just when it comes to communication, namely verbal communication, that we need to understand how powerful what we do really is in our communication. Only 7% of the actual communication that we make with people is the actual words that we say. Only 7%. The other 93% is made up of our tone of voice and our body language. You say, and body language making up the greater percentage of that, 58%. So again, the hands of heaven and the eyes of heaven. What are people seeing in our eyes, and what are they seeing our hands doing? So therefore, what is the message that they are receiving? Body language, you see, that's really what it's all about. Body language is how we show the hands of heaven and the eyes of heaven. Okay? We can tell people we love them all day long, but until we start showing them with our hands and with our eyes, it's not going to make a whole lot of difference to them. In a lot of ways, it will, as the saying goes, fall on their ears, you see. Our words, though, do speak volumes about what's in our heart. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What comes out of the mouth, Jesus says, that's what's revealing what's in the heart. You see, it's not just the words that we say, but those words will reveal where our heart really is. The wise man in Proverbs 16 and verse 23 says this, A wise man's heart guides his mouth, and his lips promote instruction. Okay? So again, you know, we've talked about this so many times before, and it really is true. Everything really comes down to a matter of the heart, doesn't it? It's where our heart is. And if our heart's not in it, then our words are going to be empty. We look at the words of heaven and the voice from heaven, there's no doubt at all that God's heart is in this thing. You say? And you agree with that or not? You say? God, when He speaks to us in His Word, He speaks from His heart. You say? And as we speak the voice of heaven, we need to be realizing we've got to speak from our hearts. Because that's what people will know and they will feel. Say whether or not we're genuine, whether we're really speaking on behalf of God in our lives. We go to the text that was read for us as we began this morning, John chapter 12, verses 49 and 50. Jesus there talks about, and the folks he's dealing with, and they're not agreeing, we're not liking what he's saying, and so forth. But notice what he says here. I did not speak on my own accord. The Father who sent me commanded me. Now look at this. What did he say? He commanded me what to say and how to say it. Okay? So whatever it is then, what to say, it came from heaven. Jesus says, look, I'm not speaking this on my own. This came right from heaven, the message that I'm giving to you. Okay? It is the voice of heaven, what God wants us to hear and to know. Okay? Now, I want you to think with me for a minute. Let's look at a couple of some of the really, really simple things that Jesus had to say. And I want you, as we look at some of these statements, notice how much power there really is in these simple statements. But remember, where did these statements come from? Not from Jesus on his own, but they came from the Father. Because he commanded him what to say. On one occasion, a man came to Jesus and he said, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus said, quite simply, "I am willing." It's a real simple statement. I am willing. And Jesus said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And he gave his life as a ransom for men." Very simple statement, but very, very powerful indeed.
Amen.
Okay. Another occasion, Jesus encountered him again. He said, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? How about this one? I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail." Simple statement. It carries a lot of power, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Neither do I convince you. How about these? Mary. Zacchaeus. Martha. Simon. What do all of these have in common? What are they? Their names. Jesus called people by name. He called people by name. The Father commanded me what to say. Very simple things that are said, but they carry a very, very powerful message from heaven. One occasion, after Jesus had risen from the grave, and he met his disciples there on the shore, they'd gone back fishing, and they come to the shore, and Jesus just quite simply said to them, "No, no breakfast. No breakfast." Another real simple statement. You realize that real simple statement, it came from heaven. Here's a question for you. What would happen in your home if these words from heaven were spoken there on a regular basis? Simple statements. What would change? What would be different in your home? Say, if, for instance, you were saying things like, "You know, I have a willingness to serve," rather than always wanting to be served. What would happen if we really focused on forgiving and praying for one another in our homes? What about eating meals together? Come and let's have breakfast. A real simple statement, but think of the power and the impact that that would have in your home. Let's sit down and eat together. Say, "What do you want me to do for you?" Simple statement. What kind of impact would that message from heaven have in your family, in your home? What would happen if in our relationships, whether it's at work or at school or in our neighborhood or even more in the church family, what would happen if we were saying things like, if we called people by name? Instead of them just being a label, it's my neighbor. You know. But we knew their name and we called them by name. Or what about if we just kind of got together with us and had a meal together? A very simple thing, but very powerful. So much so that, again, that's one of the simple things that Jesus did with his disciples after he rose from the grave. They're all worried and concerned about what's going to happen to them and where they're going to go from here. They went back to fishing, which was the thing that they knew. And Jesus' response to that is, "Come on, let's have some breakfast." Okay? Let's Sit down and have a little chat. How about this one? Neither do I continue. When we started sharing that voice from heaven, that message from heaven, with all the different people in our lives, what kind of impact would that have on those relationships? You see, those simple statements that the Father had commanded Jesus to share, and that we can share also with one another. But what about how to say it? Okay. Remember that the Father commanded Jesus not only what to say, but also how to say it. So let's take a look at a couple of things that indicate to us, how did Jesus say what he said? Okay. What's the how part here? Well, in Matthew chapter 7, after the Sermon on the Mount, the folks that were there gathered after hearing all that Jesus had said, their response, their take on how Jesus said what he said was that he taught as one who had authority, not like their teachers of the law. In other words, they recognized the big difference in how Jesus spoke versus how the teachers of the law and the religious leaders spoke. Okay. Because the Father had told him how he wanted him to speak. He spoke so differently from them. You know, the teachers of the law, the scribes, the Pharisees, the rabbis, oftentimes when they were teaching, when they were talking to people, one of the things that they would do is, in order to answer someone's question, especially some kind of religious or moral question, they would go and quote other rabbis. Or they would quote the traditions of the law and so forth that they had. But Jesus, he spoke with authority, divine authority. And people could tell the difference. See, I think there's a big difference that people recognize today, even when we speak, not just what our opinion is, but what does God's Word say? See? Not just what we think, but what God has to say about it. That's not necessarily going to change everybody's ideas and actions or what have you, but most of the time they'll at least recognize, it's not my opinion, this is the Word of God. Divine authority. You know, there were some times when what Jesus said and how he said it offended people. You see? He went into the temple and cleared the temple of the money changers. He turned over the tables and, you know, he got folks upset with him about that. So how he said it and how he went about doing it was, it was kind of rough. There are times when that needs to happen. See, Jesus didn't water things down, didn't make it easier to swallow or anything like that. You go and you look in John chapter 6, where we read about the discourse that Jesus gave on the bread of life. And what we see there is, at toward the end of that, many of his disciples, they said to him, "This is a hard saying. Who can accept this?" All these things that Jesus had been teaching, the what, you see, that he had been teaching, to them it was difficult. Okay? And look at what Jesus responds to them by saying, "Does this offend you?" In verse 61. And if you go down to verse 66, it says, "From this time on, many of his disciples turned and no longer followed him." Okay? But what we don't see Jesus doing is chasing after those disciples and going, "Wait a minute, guys, wait, we don't mean it that way." He told it like it was. Not only did he tell them what the Father wanted them to hear, you see, but the way he told it was straightforward. Here it is. You either accept it or you reject it. But the message is not going to change whether or not you like it. You see? Jesus went to his own hometown, recorded for us in Matthew chapter 13, and he began to teach the people there, and they were amazed. They were going, you know, where does this guy get this stuff from? Isn't this, you know, Joseph's son, Mary's son, and aren't his brothers James and Joseph and so forth, and his sisters? We know all them. Where does this guy get this thing? And said, they took offense at him. And over in chapter 15, Jesus was asked a question by some of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. He came because they were, you know, upset that Jesus and disciples were breaking the traditions of the elders by eating with unwashed hands. Okay? And so Jesus basically, kind of the same thing we're talking about here. He talks about how, look, it's not what goes into a man that makes a man unclean. It's what comes out of it. Because what comes out comes from the heart. And his disciples said, you know that the Pharisees were offended by what you said? You see? So, yeah, sometimes people got upset at what Jesus said. And they got upset at the fact that he didn't water it down. He didn't try to make it, you know, real soft and easy to swallow and hold it like it was. This is the message from heaven. This is what the Father told me to say. And this is how He told me to say it. See, when we're worried about hurting other people's feelings about when we tell the truth of God's Word, then we're not really going to share what the Father tells us to share. You see, we're concerned about how people are going to accept it. What the Father told me to say and how He told me to say it. So here's a question. How can we speak the voice of heaven? Right? How can we do what Jesus did? If He really wants us, and I believe He does, to share the message of heaven with other people in our lives, how can we do that like Jesus did? Okay? Well, the Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 4 tells us, gives us some really good wisdom, I think, in how to approach people about things. And look at what he says here. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you know how to answer everyone. You see? So it's not a matter of just rolling over people, and as I've heard some folks and trying to share the gospel with others, and when you say, does Jesus live in your house? No, I'm not really sure. Well, if he doesn't, you're going to hell. Well, you know, okay, how far are you going to get with that? How much salt is on that? Sounds like more, you know, hot pepper than it is salt. You see? So how we go about sharing the message with people is really important. Look at what Peter writes for us over in 1 Peter chapter 3. He says, but in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Okay? Always, he says, be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give reason for the hope that you have. But do this how? With gentleness and respect. You see? You need to do it with gentleness and respect. Be ready to answer. Be ready to share the what. But do it how God wants us to do it. With gentleness and respect. We don't have to be, you know, disrespecting people.
Amen.
And share God's word with gentleness. I like this picture. Ephesians 4 verse 29. I don't know how they, you know, I don't know, the photographer was up there going, okay, now just hold the people a little bit longer, you know. But boy, doesn't it send a message. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is useful for building others up according to their needs, that it might benefit those who listen. So in other words, if there's something unwholesome getting ready to come out of your mouth, just shut it. Don't say it. Okay. That's how God wants us to share heaven's message with other people. Okay. We can be the voice of heaven, but we've got to pay attention to not only what we say, In other words, is it God's message that He's given us? What He and His Word has commanded us to say, but it's also how we say it. Okay? Sharing the voice of heaven. Because we want people to listen to God's message. But it's got to be His message, not ours. We've got to share it in such a way, not to water it down, not to make it easier to swallow, tell it like it is. But do it with respect, do it with gentleness, you see, and do it in a way that builds people up. And not carry them. And that's not real difficult to do. So you see, we can share heaven's message with other people. Maybe there's somebody in your life that you are trying to share heaven's message with. It may be a neighbor, it may be a family member, a friend, a co-worker, I don't know. But you know, if you look around and you see the people in your life that need that message, maybe there's somebody that you recognize that God has put in your life and you need to share that message. And maybe you need some help or some guidance or encouragement to do that. We want to do that. We want to help you to do that. Maybe you looked in your own life, you might be able to see that maybe you haven't been sharing the right message with other people because maybe there's some things that are wrong in your life that aren't the right message that God wants you to send. If that's the case, and you need to get that stuff out of there so that you can be sharing the right message with other people. And maybe there's somebody here this morning who's heard the message from heaven and you recognize that indeed God loves you and He wants a relationship with you, but you haven't taken the step to make that happen. But you're ready to do that this morning. You're ready to become a child of God. And you can do that right now if that's your desire. And you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to enter into a relationship with Him, to make Him Lord of your life, then confessing this Lord. Repent of the sin that's separating you from Him. Have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now, this morning. But we can't help you with that if we don't know what's going on. So we offer an invitation time. We're going to stand together and sing a song of invitation. And if we can serve you or help you in any way, you're invited to come. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to maybe have a private prayer or conversation with him. And I'll be up front to receive you. Let's stand together and sing.